Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and I am really excited and grateful and honored. Today I have as my guest Brian Reeves. Brian is an author, blogger, and coach, and we're going to be talking about how you can create a truly conscious relationship and truly live from a place of authenticity and fully being alive. Do you ever flirt just to feel better about yourself? Do you ever go on desperation dates? Do you pursue attractions that you know won't end well? Could you be addicted to hoping someone will complete you? Are you tired of needing a man or woman to fill that hole in your chest? We routinely equate our self-worth to the affections and intentions of the sex that we're attracted to. No man or woman equals no worth, and I'm going to be talking to Brian today about how we can begin to change this paradigm and also truly come alive and live out a truly awake and empowered life. Brian Reeves is a former U.S. Air Force captain turned author, coach, and speaker. Brian Reeves has triumphed through multiple dark nights of the soul after hurling himself into the transformational fires of intimate relationship over and over again. With massive insight gleaned through countless adventures, Brian now coaches men, women, and couples. He is a regular blog contributor to The Good Men Project, Elephant Journal, The Daily Love, Raw Attraction Magazine, Conscious Lifestyle Magazine, Sexy Conscious Awake, and more. His book, The Sex, Flirting, Dating, Hunting, and Hoping Diet, is available on Amazon. You can also find Brian on Facebook, Brian Reeves Official, and we'll be talking a little bit later about how you can work with Brian on a more intimate level if you would like to. So I'm going to welcome Brian into the studio right now. Brian, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Hi, Edie. I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm enjoyed to be here. Hi.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's a joy to have you here. And I just have to say, I found you on thegoodmenproject.com. For some reason, I had put something into the search engines, probably something regarding relationships, and your blog popped up on there. And the one that I found was interesting, isn't that how? And I just felt like it was like the perfect blog for me at that time. And so the one that I read was called How to Get Anyone to Fall in Love with You. I think that's the one. I just, dude, and you have so many great pieces of writing, I have to say. And I was wondering, you're welcome. I would love to talk about that article or any of your blogs. Yeah. And you are a blogger. You're also an author.
Yeah.
And you're a coach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know that we're going to be primarily focusing today on talking about your coaching and how you help people and couples who are struggling with intimate relationships and how they can move toward mastering life and relationships. I was wondering if you could, before we get into that, which sounds just amazing, could you share with us more of your background story? How did you come to where you are today?
Oh, goody. Yeah. I love all our journeys. I just love that. Mm-hmm. Like you can just be sitting in front of someone. We all have a story, right? We've all got a story. We all have a story. And mine, the part I love to tell about in relation to the work that I do today is, so I'm a 40-year-old, 40 years brilliant man, and 40 years of brilliance. I like that. That's better.
I like it too.
I'm 40, and I'm just waking up. I'm a good person. Look, I'm a good person. Edie, I was raised by women. I had two mothers and three sisters. I was surrounded by amazing feminine energy my whole life. I had two fathers also, but they were kind of holding on for dear life. They were both married to my two moms, and it was my moms that really held everything together. So I grew up with a really healthy respect and admiration for women in the world. And then I went into the military and, at age 17. So I went from, I had like this just really unhealthy orientation to masculine energy. Like the masculine energy in my life was really just kind of disoriented and confused and weak. And then I had this dynamic feminine energy through mostly through my moms and my sisters. And then I went into the military, and the military just kind of destroyed me in many ways. And I came out of the military at 26. I was in the Air Force, a captain in the Air Force, and I came out at 26 completely dead inside. Like I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't laugh. I couldn't really cry. I just couldn't feel anything. And then I tried to have relationships with women.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not go well. It did not go well at all. And you know, what's funny, what's fascinating about that too, is growing up surrounded by women, I knew how to be a brother to women. Mm-hmm. I knew how to be a son to women. So I knew how to be a friend to women. I had no idea how to be a man for a woman. And then again, just in the military, just kind of made that even worse in a way, in terms of just driving me into my head, into my intellect, into the, you know, disconnecting me from my body, which I think is just endemic in the world today anyway. We're disconnected from our bodies and live in our minds and our intellect. So
true.
Yeah. So I did relationships really, really poorly.
That sounded interesting. Very interesting. Now, I don't know if you were, I can only imagine there's much more to your story. I know there is. But I really quickly, I think there might be a couple points here already.
There's two points there. Absolutely.
And then I do want to hear more, because I think you have all these other adventures that happened as well. So you kind of mentioned how the military, being in the military, sort of kept you in your head, and I'm just curious if you could describe that. Are you open to describing that in a little more detail?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for anyone else, also experienced that.
Yeah, well, I think this is core to what the modern world is really experiencing. The military is just an extreme form of that. So we live in a world that we worship the mind, we worship intellect, rational thinking. Right, we dismiss emotions. We discount what's going on in our body. We don't trust the body. We trust rational thinking, and I see that also as a way of prioritizing masculine orientation towards the world, intellect, rational thinking, over feminine embodied orientation towards the world, which is like direct experience, you know. Embodied emotional wisdom, heart wisdom. So that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
And then,
it is, for better or for worse.
I definitely think mostly for worse. I mean, not that we want to get rid of the intellect and rational thinking, but there's no balance to it. We're totally out of balance, and look at what's happening to our world. I mean, even our own government can't function because you have all of these, I'm just going to say, silly adolescent masculine psychology thinking boys trying to get along with each other, and they can't. So, you know,
the military
what the military does is the military disconnect, you know, boot camp, you know, men yelling at you, screaming at you, scaring the bejesus out of you, breaking you down, and then turning you into literally, like they're trying to turn you into a machine. What that means is they're trying to disconnect you even more from your body so that you can live in the programmed story that they're feeding you. So that the way I look at it is you can't take life if you feel connected to life.
I know. This is a really important point, I think, because I think I read that you said this somewhere, and this is what a profound point. And I've wondered about that. And I know we're not talking about the military today and that topic, but what a profound point. It is connected, isn't it connected to relationships?
Absolutely, it's connected to relationships. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in relationships, so you have, and a lot of my work is, like, the big epiphany in my life was really discovering the dance of masculine and feminine energies, which is not about genitals. It's not about what kind of genital you have. You know, just because you have a penis doesn't mean you're masculine. Just because you have a vagina doesn't mean you're feminine. Just want to be clear about that. We all have these energies in our bodies, but what's happened is we live in a world that totally depreciates feminine expression, collaboration, emotional wisdom, heart wisdom, embodied wisdom, right? Look at what we just do to our planet. I mean, we exploit our planet. We mine her for all that she's worth. We strip her. There's this video going around on Facebook right now, blowing up on Facebook. This guy Prince EA talking about trees, how we have cut down 50% of the world's trees in the last 100 years, and that's evidence.
Crazy.
And we've done it all for a dollar bill. We've done it all for money, for profit. And this is again. And what is profit? Sort of this idea of adding to our bottom line, rational thinking. Again, what do we need trees for? We really need money.
Oh my goodness, what do we need them for?
Right?
Yeah.
This is what's happening kind of on the macro level, on the global scale, but then you get into, so bring that into an intimate relationship and you have two people who also are, rational thinking is prioritized over emotional embodied wisdom. So how this often plays out, and I'm just going to take a heterosexual context, because this does play out in gay and lesbian relationships as well. It's a little more subtle, but there are more nuances, but basically in a heterosexual context, man, woman, if the man is embodying more of a masculine expression and a woman is embodying more feminine, what happens is the rational thinking is prioritized. So women are generally taught to, I like to talk about what I call the stress-free box.
I think I know. Even though I don't know what you're going to say, I think I somehow intuitively have been there. Go ahead.
Yeah, we all have a stress-free box. And basically, it's like inside that stress-free box, I can make sense of the world. I kind of know where things belong. I know who you are. I know how to kind of work with you, either control you or I kind of know, you know, I get what I want from you inside the stress-free box. You show up in ways that I can deal with. But humans, you know, and feminine energy is like feminine energy. I mean, that is life itself. That is the expression of life itself. And life is wild and untamable and I mean, deliciously all over the place. And
I like how you say that, Brian.
Go ahead. I'm a romantic at heart.
Go on.
And so the rational mind though can't really deal with that. And so whenever that expression falls outside of the stress-free box, our masculine kind of orientation that wants to understand and make sense of everything, it can't deal with that, and it collapses, and it collapses in all kinds of ways, whether whether it runs away, we run away, or we fight. And basically by fighting, we're trying to get you back inside my stress-free box where I deal with you.
Aha, uh-huh. Now I know.
And so...
And
women learn, all of us learn, because mm-hmm. even men, we do that to our own feminine energy, we do that to our own feminine
right.
expression. Even as boys,
right.
we're taught, don't be emotional, don't cry, don't mm-hmm. act irrational, don't act outside of, you know, don't act outside of the stress-free box, basically, because that's bad somehow. And so what mm-hmm. we do is, and women in particular, I think, bear this greatly. Most women, because they are predominantly carriers of feminine energy, not exclusively,
mm-hmm.
men also, but
mm-hmm.
but I think women really suffer a lot from this. They cut themselves off of their full expression
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
because you're taught from a young age that you're too much.
Mm-hmm.
You're either
Absolutely.
Somehow too much, right? Yeah, you're somehow too much. And but the sad irony of that is that when you do cut yourself off to fit inside the stress-free box, then you become somehow not enough.
Interesting. It's sort of the paradox. And it's also,
yeah.
isn't that what masculine energy is craving anyway? Is that kind of unbridled, wild feminine energy?
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Well, we crave it, and mm-hmm. in our immaturity, we're horrified of it.
Uh-huh, and I recognize this as well. And this is all good, right? Because I just have to
yeah.
say, Brian, that I just really appreciate you talking about this, because this is something that I've experienced, and occasionally I'll even discuss it with my other female friends. But to hear a man say it is really refreshing, mm. and this is not to, I'm not about emasculating masculine energy
uh-huh.
at all.
Yeah.
There's as much as the masculine looks for that wild, unbridled, untamed
yeah.
energy and feminine energy, the reverse is true as well.
Yeah.
You know, feminine energy is looking for kind of like that deeply present, kind of hold
yeah.
the space, witness
yeah.
whatever happens
yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're not emasculating anyone or anything here.
No.
This is about
yeah.
empowerment,
yeah.
right? Ultimately,
absolutely.
And having a dialogue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, every man at his core, every masculine being or a masculine woman for that matter, for a woman is more
mm-hmm.
masculine at her core, but every masculine being is yearning, is literally yearning, dying to be able to hold a feminine person in her wild fullness.
Mm-hmm. So true.
We long
it's so
for
true.
That experience. And that's why we're attracted. We are so attracted to that. And, you know, there's this thing, there's this idea that, you know, why do men love bitches?
Mm.
You've heard that?
I'm not sure I have, actually.
There's even a book.
Where does that come
even
from?
A book called Why Men Love Bitches.
Huh.
Well, there's
this
it's, not, it's kind of like, it's not, on the other side, it's like why women like the bad guy.
I see. Okay.
I'm
relating now. Mm-hmm.
Like the nice guys finished last kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's sort of this corollary for men, why men love bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's not that men love bitches, just the same as it's not that women love the bad guy. It's that
mm-hmm.
in the case of men, there are no longer any rituals and any thoughtful, conscious, intentional rituals that initiate boys into manhood anymore.
Interesting. Huh.
So
and do you think that's... go ahead. Is that the disconnect or...
Well,
go ahead.
Well, it's a huge disconnect. And and what happens is we instinctively, unconsciously, unwittingly, we use women to initiate ourselves into manhood.
Wow. Okay, that is definitely an insight for me. I did. I have a lot of insights along the way, and I sort of pieced together
uh-huh.
the pieces of the puzzle. But that is one I missed. So,
yeah.
How insightful! And could you go a little bit deeper into that?
Yes. So I'll just use my own life as an example. when I was
okay.
when I was 23, 24, 25. Yeah. No. Look, I I have two fathers, good men, but they really didn't show me, neither one of them could really show me how to be a healthy, functional adult male. I mean, they just weren't present to that. They just didn't, they were holding on for dear life themselves, as I mentioned. So I didn't have men showing me the way. And so then I went into the military, you know, which again, it's just not that is not a place where conscious masculinity expresses itself. That's a very dark side, of a very strict dark side of masculinity that expresses itself through in the military. So here I am, you know, I'm 23, 24 years old. I have a girlfriend who's amazing, this really good woman. She's actually a few years older than me. We communicate well. I mean, she's just a good woman. And you know what? I did not want anything to do with her. I couldn't get out of that relationship fast enough. And the woman, here's the woman I chose a few years later. I'm in France traveling. I'm out of the military, completely dead inside. And the woman I chose, I met and married a woman 5 weeks after I met her in France, a French woman. And I chose her because I knew that she would destroy me. I knew that she would not meet any of my conditions. I instinctively, even I remember before I got married, like the day before, maybe the day of, I remember this voice in my head saying, don't do this. But it was very quiet. Everything else in me said, no, do this. You want this. This will be amazing. But this little voice was saying, nope, this is going to destroy you. And
that voice.
The irony is I needed something. I needed something to obliterate my that adolescent masculine psychology, because nothing else was. Nothing else was serving to do that, which is what rituals have always done.
Huh. That's fascinating. So in a way it sounds like you almost had to go through that marriage and relationship.
I did. Okay. I absolutely had to go through it. I had to go through it only because there were no men showing me the way into manhood. So I picked women who would do it the hard way, right? Rather than having thoughtful, conscious, wise elder men stewarding me into my own mature masculine manhood, I didn't have that. So I chose women who would basically, I mean, literally, in all indigenous manhood rituals, there is a simulation of a death that the boy must go through so that the man can emerge.
Oh,
there
my goodness.
A simulation of death.
So is that what it takes then?
Look at one of the main things that young boys are drawn to is war, is battle. Some type of fight. We are drawn to the edge of our existence. We flirt with death. We drive faster than we should. You know, we do dangerous things. We climb high on things where we can fall off. I mean, we do all kinds of things because there's something in our psychology that actually is yearning to experience death. And it's only in that experiencing of death that the true mature masculine presence can emerge.
Well, that is that's mind blowing. I did not know this, and I am so glad that you brought this up, because I really hope that this is helping a lot of men out there, you know, young men out there, older men, or anyone. And then, so I'm actually, and again, I know this isn't our main topic, but I'm actually I'm curious about this. So then in most indigenous cultures, now even like I'm a little bit familiar with, say, like shamanism, and also is it exact? So how does a simulated death occur, are we getting too off topic there? I'm just really curious about
it's a little off topic, but I'll give you just one example.
Okay.
I'll give you one example.
Yeah.
So there's a tribe down in the Brazilian Amazon. What they do is one of their rituals for young boys is there's an ant called the bullet ant. Mm-hmm. It is on all of the species of ants across the planet, this ant has the most powerful and painful sting of any ant on the planet. And so boys are one of the things they have to do in their manhood rituals is they have to wear these, they make these gloves made out of leaves, out of giant leaves, and they place hundreds of these bullet ants inside these leaf gloves. And the boys have to stick their hands inside these gloves and be bitten by the most painful ant bite on the planet.
Wow.
Hundreds of them for 10 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. And they have to bear this without making a sound. Like without wincing. Mm-hmm. They have to bear the pain, the extreme pain of this process. And they have to do it multiple times. They don't just do it once and then they're a man. They have to go through this 10 or more times. And you actually see throughout a lot of cultures, there's a lot of kind of mutilation rituals, scarring rituals, something that in effect marks a boy's passage into manhood. And let me also just, I think what's even more interesting is why does that matter?
Mm-hmm,
like, what does
right.
death have to do with it? What does death
right,
have
exactly.
to do with
I think that's and, what I was and, curious about, yeah.
Well, and so, and here's where it gets fun. So, and this is, again, what I've noticed in my life. So, yeah, so this is what I've noticed in my life. In order for me to be fully present with a woman in an intimate relationship, to really, truly hold her, I have to hold what I call paradox. I have to hold this paradox. And here's the paradox. I have to be able to deeply, deeply care about her, what she thinks, what she feels, what she's experiencing, all that. And at the same time, I have to not care at all.
Huh. Now that's the void. And now why does that matter? Because I think this is where women or what feminine energy gets confused. And we should actually, there's a reason to honor this, right? And what's the reason?
Well, the reason that I have to be able to care and not care at the same time is this, and this is also where confronting death is the only thing that gives me access to managing this paradox. Because here's the thing, if all I do is care, if I'm in an intimate relationship, and this was most of my life, when all I did was care about what my partner thought or felt about me, can you imagine what a mess I was, Edie? Because my partner's opinion of me is changing, shifting, dancing. I can't do anything quite right, or you know. And in the moment she has a bad opinion about me, I collapse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to run away. I want to fight her. I want to change her mind. I want to, you know, I'm tempted to change what I'm doing. I sell myself out, or I try to anything to get her to think differently. Right? That's when all I do is care.
Okay.
Which is where. So that's the one side. Now, if I'm living exclusively on the other side where all I do is not care, well, now I'm just a cold, indifferent, unfeeling ass. Right? And this is the man that can just, this is the guy that checks out in the relationship or the guy that uses women or the guy that just, you know, doesn't really care. I mean, he can say mean and hurtful, nasty things and just crush your feminine soul and with my lack of regard and my lack of love, right? So that's the one side. That's the not caring. Now, does that make sense? You kind of see those two extremes?
It does. And go ahead. I know you're going to say something else, but and I may have to come back to the not caring part, like the void again, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so in confronting this element of death, that gives me a freedom. See what my masculine essence is, what one of my gifts and one of the things I'm like, the masculinity in all of us, men and women, is searching for is freedom.
Right.
Freedom from constraint, right? We're solving problems. And so what happens is if I'm treating my woman as a problem to solve, as like she is the source of my freedom or my prison, you know, or the burden I have to bear. I'm not going to show up very powerfully with her. I'm going to be constantly trying to get her to give me freedom. And what confronting death does enables me to be free already, to be free anyway. I don't need you to experience freedom because death is the ultimate freedom. And so...
Okay. That
now,
makes more sense.
Now I can be in relationship to you and I can both love you deeply and care for you and care what you think and feel and all of that. But at the same time, I'm not dependent on you for my freedom. So I also, at the same, simultaneously, I don't care. So I can I can show up for you and not depend on you be a certain way.
And the depending on, and I think let's take a break right here. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Sure.
And I just, let's, when we come back, we can, let's get really deep into the dynamics of masculine and feminine energy and how that relates and manifests in a conscious relationship. Also how you can become sexy and awake and kind of living with desire and being authentic, both in your life and relationships, and why this matters, and just this really good and juicy stuff. Like, this is the reason that I think that we all get up in the morning, whether or not we want to admit it. So we're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Edie Summers, and I am speaking today with author, coach, and blogger, Brian Reeves. He is a former U.S. Air Force captain, like we were talking about, and now he is a coach. He works with couples and individuals, and he's actually, we're going to be talking about this in a little bit. He's doing a life and relationship mastery experience, helping people journey toward an exquisite life and magical intimate relationship, which I really love the sound of that. And also, what does it mean to truly come alive? Brian has, he's a regular blog contributor to the Good Men Project, which is where I originally found him. I found one of his blogs on there, and it's just, I was just honestly blown away by his that piece of writing, and his other writing is just as great. I know he has a lot of followers for his blog. He also writes for the Elephant Journal, the Daily Love, which I don't know if some of you know about the Daily Love, but that's it's kind of a fantastic way to get like a dose of love and inspiration and motivation into your inbox every day, pretty much. And I think that's run by Mastin Kipp. And anyway, that's a really great website as well. He also writes for Raw Attraction Magazine, Conscious Lifestyle Magazine, Sexy Conscious Awake. I love that. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that coming back into our talk here. And also, he has a book out. It's called The Sex, Flirting, Dating, Hunting, and Hoping Diet. And actually, and that you can find that on Amazon. And actually, Brian, could you tell me more, like, what does Sexy Conscious Awake mean? I mean, I know what it means, but if we can describe it a little more. And also, what does your title mean? I love it. It's very intriguing. The Sex, Flirting, Dating, Hunting, and Hoping Diet.
Yeah, well, I'll just start there.
Okay.
I wrote that book because 2 years ago, this is when really my own awakening around my orientation towards feminine energy and masculine energy, like when I really started waking up to the consequences of my ignorance. And I noticed that at the time I was using women to feel better about myself. And
interesting.
And
okay.
I don't just mean sexually, but I just mean using feminine energy. I was using the attention of women, using something, you know, it didn't even matter, just their presence or energy, something to fill up an emptiness that I was feeling. And I remember I dated a couple women that in the summer of 2013, I guess it was, and it just, I just was so, it felt so empty. And I mean, you know, I dated one woman, she was an amazing human being, just a beautiful, beautiful person. And I just couldn't really connect to the experience. And I was using her. and again, I wasn't using her for sex. I mean, most people think of just sex. No, I was just using her energy to feel good about myself. Like, in other words, at the time, I felt like, if I have no woman, I have no worth.
And
I think that's a big thing that a lot of men suffer from, that affliction. Again, we put our sense of identity and self-worth on the attentions and affections of women. When I really saw that and got clear to that, I thought, oh my goodness, okay, I need to break this pattern. And so I did this diet. I did this 30-day fast. I called it my 30-day woman fast, which women hated when I say that, mostly.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was kind of funny. Okay.
I think it's funny too, but I mean, I was blogging for the Daily Love, and this, my blog went out to, like, you know, 500,000 women. With that title, why I'm giving up women for 30 days, and women were like, you know, some women who didn't read the blog, they just read the title, said, you know, it's terrible that guys can't go 30 days without sex. And again, those are the ones that didn't read the blog.
You gotta read the blog.
Blog.
That's just a soundbite otherwise.
Exactly. Huh. They totally were missing the point, because the ones that did read the blog were actually really amazed. The response I got from women who actually did read what I was going through thought, oh my God, I can't believe men go through the same things that women do.
Exactly. And also appreciating, I just want to say, I appreciate you again for just having being open to, you know, not only the feminine experience, but also your own experience, and just like being open to being, like you say, conscious like of it. And we all have to have more respect and appreciation. That's something else, but that's another conversation. But okay, go on. So so that's where your title came from for your book.
That's where my title came from. Yeah, I did this 30-day fast. It ended up being 37 days because I fell off the wagon on day 7. I fell off the wagon and I landed on top of this really beautiful woman.
Hey, it happens. It happens. But again, it's like okay. I have to say, I don't know if I can't remember the title of this, but there's actually a CD that Deepak Chopra put out with a whole bunch of other like luminaries, and it's all on desire. And it's just like it's kind of like what we are. And I think when we disconnect from it or we disown ourselves from it, that's when trouble happens. Anyway, go ahead.
What really was beautiful about the experience is that I reconnected to an authentic desire, not the desire I was using to just feel better about myself. Desire. Oh yeah. I mean, I remember I had this experience after about 2 weeks. I remember walking through Whole Foods in Santa Monica, which there are so many beautiful women in that Whole Foods. And I remember walking through the Whole Foods.
I can picture it.
But the rules were no loitering in the produce section, you know, trying to get a woman to notice me.
That's your own rules.
Those are my rules. Well, this was my fast. It was like no using women, no trying to get attention, no trying to get anything from them. And no trying, you know, my sexuality, no trying to get women to scratch my itch, so to speak. And so I remember walking through the Whole Foods, allowing my sexual energy to just be, allowing that hunger to be, and not needing anyone to do anything about it was exhilarating. It was exhilarating. I just got to be the energy with no focus on doing anything about it, but just being it, expressing it. I remember walking through this Whole Foods and I literally, like, my whole being wanted to fuck the entire world. And it was,
now, see, I love
it was
that.
Exhilarating.
That's fantastic. And then
amazing.
How do you, okay, go ahead. How do you, out of that, I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
I love that.
Please.
That energy is
yeah.
amazing. And then out of that, what happened? I'm just curious. Like, did anything happen at Whole Foods, or is it more just that you felt that and then
no,
and then
no,
obviously
I mean,
you
happened.
Met someone after that. Nothing
I
happened.
Mean,
it was just
yeah,
the energy.
The milk jugs started exploding, and there was and
yeah.
and the poultry came alive and started running through the Whole Foods. Life began again.
Okay.
Nothing happened. What happened was I felt so alive. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is I
yeah.
felt so invigorated and alive. And
mm-hmm.
and I guess that I mean, think about it, like that expression of I wanted to fuck the world. What I mean by that is I wanted to
mm-hmm.
give my gift of me, of all of me, to the world. I was not concerned
yeah.
in that moment of what I was getting from the world or from other people. I was only in the space of, wow, I feel amazing. How can I show up and just give myself to the world completely?
Wow.
That's massive.
That's huge. I love that. And it's also, it's kind of reminding me of like masculine energy and life force, right? Like, isn't that kind of
yeah.
what it is?
Yeah.
On that part
Definitely.
Is.
Sure.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. And then how can two people in an intimate relationship, we'll take just for example, a man and a woman,
yeah.
how can they,
yeah.
in a conscious way, interact with one another and both get what they need and at the same time keep this energy alive? Like for the masculine
yeah.
energy, it's the energy that you just expressed. And for
yeah.
for the feminine energy, it's more like being really receptive and open and wild and just, you know, allowing yourself to be,
yeah.
you know, embody that feminine energy. How do those two people interact? Like, what are some practical tips?
Well, that's both a huge question. And I mean, I know you took a really huge question, and then you threw in what are some practical tips?
Well,
so,
I can't help it. I just, you know, I'm trying to think how the listener is thinking.
Yeah.
Because people are always looking for how is this going to help me or benefit me, and I really want people to not only be inspired here because we're talking about
yeah.
what it feels like to be alive, right? Like, what does it truly
yeah.
feel like to be alive, whether from a masculine point of view or a feminine point of view, and then also, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
And how do you get what you need, and how do you experience, you know, how do you
yeah.
you know, experience joy and bliss and all of that and freedom?
Well, the only thing that I just want to before I offer some practical thoughts about it, I just want to emphasize that we are
mm-hmm.
all at different stages of our evolution in expressing our natural, authentic gifts. And
okay.
so depending on where we are in our lives and in our evolution, the tips I might offer might not make any damn sense.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right. That's true.
But even having said that, I do want to, I mean, in the end, all any of us, I believe, because this is all I've ever wanted, all
mm-hmm.
I have ever wanted is to be seen for who I truly am and to show up in the world and to express the authentic brilliance that is uniquely me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's my sweet spot of living. And that's, I mean, you see that in my blogs and my writing. I just show up and I say, this is who I am, as close as
mm-hmm.
I can figure out that to be. And
right.
and that rawness, being raw. And, you know, in couples, so when I work with couples and and I love working with couples because I get to work with both people. I get to work with both sides of the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what happens, a couple in crisis, and a crisis could be chaotic or a crisis could just be stagnancy, right? That's a
yeah.
crisis too.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, you know, years of stagnation, that's the word,
mm-hmm.
right? That's another kind of crisis. But what happens is you have two people that are just have no idea of the dynamic that's taking place. They have no idea what they don't even know how to communicate their needs to each other. They don't even know how to communicate what it is they want to give to each other. They don't even know what it is they want to really give to each other. And they're both like, it just chaos ensues. And that seems to be like the state of things, either chaos or stagnation or hurt and suffering and pain or quiet desperation, whatever. That seems to be the rule of modern relationships. And so
true. Go ahead.
I know. And so what I usually, the starting point when I'm working with couples is getting a clarity around, do you identify more with masculine energy or do you identify more with feminine energy? Like, where is your joy? Where is your thrill? Do you love being competitive? Do you love playing with ideas and thoughts and bottom lines and solving problems? Like, is that your gift? Is that the thing that excites you? Do you love, you know, do you need your space a lot? Does relationships sometimes feel constricting? I mean, so I kind of get clear about, well, first off, which essence do you identify with more? And because what happens is an intimate relationship, we come together to complement each other with those energies, with those expressions. And in our modern day culture, most people are conditioned to want to come together and offer masculine energy. And you have two people in a relationship offering masculine energy, both people wanting to kind of, you know, that's the power struggle, wanting to control the dynamic, wanting to say, make the decisions and it just doesn't work. So I start, you know, one of the things that women find really challenging, and feminine women in particular, they find it really challenging, but it's actually a really powerful way of eliciting masculine energy from your partner and allowing yourself to stay in your feminine energy is make less decisions.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
It could be as simple as, where are we going for dinner? I can't tell you how many women, how many strong, independent thinking women are exhausted by men that can't even decide where to take them for dinner. Can you relate to that? Well, is that these men are accustomed to women who decide.
Taking charge.
They'll take charge because the man...
Yeah.
Because if he's not going to, then gosh darn it, I, woman, will. It perpetuates that imbalance.
And I think that's a really great tip. And I'm not even very fond of the word tip, but I just but I think, you know, we're looking here for insights and also just how can we relate to one another in an authentic way and in a conscious way. And so this kind of comes back full circle to what we were talking about in the beginning. I have a question as a feminine woman. How does a woman in a relationship get out of that stress-free box because I find that causes me stress. I'm aware of the stress-free box now that you especially have defined it, but I think I am afraid to go outside of it because I feel like I have been conditioned to don't test that, and which is completely disempowering. I don't feel like myself in so many of these relationships because I feel like I've been quote-unquote trained to stay inside the stress-free box. And at the same time, my intuition tells me that this guy is looking to be challenged, but I don't feel like I'm the woman to do it. Do you know what I mean? So
I totally know what you
do. You have any suggestions?
Okay. Are you in a relationship now?
No, not currently.
No.
So so here we go. We're being coached. This is good, actually.
One of the easiest things and the most important, I think, for women in particular to do is to, Edie, what do you do regularly that makes you feel like a woman?
Good question. Do you mean inside a relationship or just in general?
Nope. I mean in general.
In general. Oh my goodness. Now we're getting very personal now. So I have to make sure that I don't shut down because that's usually what I do.
Okay.
Interesting. Let's see.
And you're totally safe. It's just me and everyone who's listening. Well, and we all love you.
Oh, that's very sweet. And actually, this actually is a pain point for me. So I appreciate this. And I just, you know, I did not plan for this to happen. I do hope this helps somebody. And by the way, anyone who hasn't called in should call in because you're getting like free coaching from Brian here. But okay, let's see. Okay, to be honest, I'm spacing out a little because I think I'm experiencing intense fear around answering this. But I would say that I'm very creative and I need to work on being more receptive. I feel like that's where I get stuck is normally I'm a very feminine, receptive type person. Although, of course, I work in the corporate business world and all of that, but I think I love to be inspired. I love nature. I love to just kind of bliss out on inspiration. I don't even know if that's answering your question, but that's kind of who I am, like, on my own.
well, for example, like nature, when you walk in nature, mm-hmm. that's a great one, actually. That's one that I do hear from women sometimes when I ask that question. I hear dancing a lot. I like dance. Or I like paint.
Yeah.
I like usually they are things that are embodying. They're not intellectual pursuits. They're more embodied practices, creative, using the body in some way. And so one of the things that you can do to really stay connected to your deep, wild, feminine nature is just do the things that connect you there, that make you feel your femininity, that are authentic connections to your femininity. So walking in nature, make sure you do that as much as possible, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of women, when I ask them this question, they blank. A lot of them blank at first. And then they might say, well, you know, I love to dance, or I used to paint a lot, or I get those answers a lot. And then I'll ask them, well, how often do you do it? And some of them will say, well, you know, like I dance maybe once a month, or maybe I danced a few months ago. Or you have to do these things every. It's really about being you. It's about being authentically you, the deepest, juiciest, most delicious expression of you. That's what the planet needs. That's what men are aching for from you, even if they don't know it. And I do believe that more and more men are waking up to their own, like myself. I mean, when I was in my young 30s, I didn't know it for sure. But now, at 40, I am starving for a woman in her fullness. And a woman in her fullness is a woman who does the things that make her feel like a woman every single day. I mean, she lives from her womanhood. She can still have a job and be in business, but she brings her femininity through her in service of what she's doing in the world, and not, you know, not as a little side project that she does sometimes.
A side project. I actually really appreciate you saying that, and I've often thought that yes, there is an imbalance in the world between masculine and feminine energies, and I do feel like. Women have to kind of step up to the plate. You know, we keep complaining, you know, how, you know, masculine energy is kind of dominating, but we're not doing as much as we nearly could to kind of balance it out again. So I appreciate you saying that, you know, we can't point a finger at, all we can do is look at ourselves and give ourselves permission and who cares what the outcome is. Like, I think that's where I get stuck in an intimate relationship is, the outcome, but the rewards are worth it. So in my experience, go ahead.
Well, and if I might say, outcome is again a masculine mode of being, outcome orientation. What is the product? What's the result going to be?
Okay. Yeah. Good point, Brian.
We're trained in that. So we're trained to outcome. But what about just being the truth of who you are in this moment? Just expressing, just being who you are in this moment. I mean, that's the great invitation of our time. Again, we're coming back to what we started at the beginning. The reason our oceans are filling up with plastic and our air is being polluted and our waterways or our food systems exploited and all because we're all outcome oriented. We're all masculine, bottom line, outcome oriented. And we're sick because of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I just, That's really, actually, it's really insightful and really helpful for me, and I know for a lot of other people too. And yeah, let's just be fully present and really inhabit being conscious and awake and live with desire and live with be excited to be alive. Like I feel like there's so many people that don't feel excited, and we should be pretty excited. There's a lot to be. There's a lot here.
Yeah. We could talk. We could do in a whole another hour.
Yeah, we could. We could. So I wanted to. Okay. First of all, let's talk about your. Okay. You have a course that's coming up in. Is it June? Or it's a program?
Yeah,
it's a program.
I'm starting it. It's a program. Yeah, it's like a coaching program, a small group. Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Life and Relationship Mastery Experience, a 6-month journey towards an exquisite life and a magical intimate relationship. And I just absolutely love that. And you have there are 20 spots available, so not a lot.
Only 20. That's right.
Only 20. But you actually are, like, for anyone who's listening, you are going to let them know a way that they can work for you that's even more motivating. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that.
Well, so yeah, I'm really excited about this. I'm launching this 6-month program, and it's really like a facilitated group of 20 inspired people that are dedicated, that truly are interested in working towards creating an extraordinary life for themselves and magical intimate relationships. I'm really excited about it. It's really about, again, all the things that we've been talking about in this conversation, which, by the way, Edie, I think this has been one of my favorite interviews so far. I think this has been really good. So thank you. You've done an amazing job at helping
thank
us
you.
Move through this. This has been, I've really enjoyed this. And so.
Well, you're welcome back anytime. So go ahead. Go on.
Thank you. Well, that's so the 6-month program, and I know we only have a few minutes left here, and I just pretty much everything we've been talking about is what we'll be exploring in both relationship and daily life for 6 months starting in June. And anyone who's listening, so I'm offering this program 20 people only, and I have thousands of readers, so I know this is going to fill up quickly. I'm offering
tens of thousands. Go ahead.
All over the world, and so. I'm offering it for the full price is $1,497, so $1,497, but I'm giving a $500 discount early bird to anyone listening to this. So it'd be only $997 for six months to do this program.
Yeah.
And it involves coaching calls with me. It involves Q&A, live Q&A, hot seat coaching kind of stuff. Assignments and accountability and practices and journaling and all this good kind of stuff. So I don't have time to go into all the details now, but if anyone is interested, they can just, I think you're putting my website right on the
Yeah. So
on the
if
page.
You're on the show page, yeah, your brianreeves.com is on there. And then also what's your email, Brian? You were saying that's another good way
my
to get
email,
hold of you.
Yeah. Email me at info@ Brian, it's Brian with a Y, BRYANREEVES.com, Brian Reeves, Brian with a Y, info@BrianReeves.com. Just email me there if you're interested. Like I say, I'm just getting it all together, and I'm really excited about it. It's my excitement, and this is information. Clearly, if you've been listening to this interview, I'm so passionate about it, and it's a healing for our own lives, our relationships, but also for the planet. This work.
Absolutely. I mean, Brian, and you're the guy to work with because you've been through it. And I think people would be extremely fortunate to work with you on an intimate level. So, and also, if you come to the show page, Brian has some free gifts on there. So So there's brianreeves.com, my free gifts, and he's got some actually really cool gifts on there. So I highly recommend you go check that out too. And now I know we're ending here. I had to go. I know we said an hour. We're coming on we're coming to a close here. But I just want to thank you so much, Brian, for being here, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for being brave enough to be yourself and to put yourself out there and just you are an amazing writer, and you're a fabulous coach too. So I just really appreciate your time and energy. And you know, you're welcome back anytime. So and everybody go work with Brian. There are only 20 spots, but that would be, I'm sure, a huge honor for people, and obviously people will get results with you. So
thank you.
Thanks, Brian, and I will see you online at some point.
Okay.
Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much.
Thank
I'll talk
you.
To you soon.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye. You've been listening to The Wellness Coach on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening today, everyone. And I appreciate you listening. And that was just such a really great experience for me. And there's always so much to learn from these really amazing guests that I have on, and I really hope that you, if you want to follow The Wellness Coach, feel free to do so. We have really other great interviews coming up. I got permission to air the interview that I did with celebrity chef Sam Talbot that's coming up on Sunday. And I interviewed him for Mind Body Green, and now I'm airing the interview, so that's kind of cool. So come check that out, and go check out Brian's program. It just looks absolutely amazing. Again, go to brianreeves.com and also check him out on Facebook, facebook.com/BrianReevesOfficial. And again, for anyone who's listening on their mobile devices, it's BrianReeves, and then official if you're on Facebook. So Brian Reeves Official, and then also BrianReeves.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I will see you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.